Summary, Chapter 1. Vocabulary, Clarinet Lesson. Boarding School. Baseball Autographs. Tweed Suit. Freshman. Furniture. Corpse. Tuition. Rent. Stumble upon something. To be concerned with something. Desperate. Devastated.
Thanks. This is very interesting. Now I remember the whole story and I can look at it more closely and in connection to the issues you just mentioned. So many things happened to this guy.
Marco Stanley Fogg, you mean?
Yes, that's his whole name. It all starts when Marco is 11 and his mother Emily is killed by a bus in 1958. Then he has to live with his uncle, Victor Fogg, in Chicago. His uncle is a clarinetist. He plays for a band called the Moonlight Moods and gives clarinet lessons, too.
Marco likes his uncle very much. He's a nice person, though he's never really successful as a musician. Marco and Victor get along well. They really become close friends.
That's true. Victor takes Marco to the movies once, and they watch Around the World in 80 Days together. He then explains his name, Marco Stanley Fogg, to him. Marco for the explorer, Marco Polo, Stanley for the explorer, Henry Stanley, and Fogg for Phileas Fogg, the main character of the movie they just watched.
Victor really loves Marco as his own son. I remember their farewell later when Marco has finished high school and decides to study at Columbia University in New York. At the same time, Victor starts a tour with his new band, the Moon Men. The uncle gives Marco his baseball autographs, all his books, and this tweed suit.
You're a good boy, Phileas, and you'll always be with me, no matter where I am. For the time being, we move off in opposite directions. But sooner or later, we'll meet again. I'm sure of it.
Yes, Marco wears this tweed suit every day until it falls to pieces. Imagine a college freshman in a suit. People surely laughed at him. But because Uncle Victor is Marco's only relative, he feels close to him when he wears the suit.
If I could not write often, I nevertheless managed to stay in spiritual contact with him by wearing the suit.
True, and think of all the books, over 1,000 different kinds of books Victor gives to Marco. After his first year at college in New York, Marco doesn't want to live together with his friend Zimmer, and instead moves into an apartment on West 112th Street. He uses the 76 boxes with books as furniture in his apartment.
From the window of this apartment, he can see the pink and blue neon sign of a Chinese restaurant called Moon Palace.
That's why the novel is called Moon Palace.
Exactly. The sign reminds Marco of his Uncle Victor, and so it gives him a good and positive feeling.
He thinks of his Uncle Victor? Oh, right. I remember. Victor played in this band Moonlight Moods, and he is on tour with the Moon Men. For a while, Marco feels safe and at home, but unfortunately, things begin to change for the worse.
You're right. Uncle Victor dies.
And Marco has to pay so much money to bring the corpse back to Chicago, and then he has to pay for the funeral. He is not only very sad about the loss of his uncle, but he also starts to run out of money. He has to pay his tuition, his rent, food, and everything. Although he is running out of money, he rejects any help. I really don't understand this. He doesn't talk to anybody about his problems, and he never asks for help.
Well, Marco starts reading all of Victor's books and sells them afterwards. He also loses his furniture that way. Somehow he makes it through his college years until his final year, things go from bad to worse. He cannot pay his electricity bills, he has to use candles, and cannot afford a phone anymore.
At the end, Marco can't even buy proper food. He gets thinner and thinner. One day, he is looking for his friend Zimmer, and he stumbles upon a breakfast party. He's so hungry that he can't stop eating all the food the people offer him. At this party, he also meets his later girlfriend, Kitty Wu. Actually, it is she who helps him to all the food. From the first moment on, it seems that she likes him, but Marco is too concerned with all his problems to see this. His situation gets worse every day. He is so desperate and devastated that one day he even considers selling Victor's clarinet, the last thing that reminds him of his uncle.
In the end, they throw him out of his apartment because he hasn't paid his rent. The first chapter ends when Marco has to pack up his few things, leaves his apartment, and starts living on the streets.
Summary. Chapter 2. Vocabulary. To be ashamed. To hold back something. To deserve. Fate. Sanctuary. Garbage can. Disgusting. Knapsack. Soaked. Hash house. To throw up.
When Marco Stanley Fogg has to leave his apartment, he has no clue where to go. All his relatives are dead. He can't find his friend Zimmer, and he is so ashamed of his situation that he doesn't want to meet anyone he might know from the Columbia University.
Marco simply starts walking down the streets of New York with no more than $20 in his pocket. I really don't know what to think of someone like him. I mean, I would be scared without money or a place to live and nobody around to ask for help. But he doesn't seem to care. He just starts walking.
But remember when he goes to the movies on this first afternoon? It is a really shabby old theater, and many poor and drunk people go there. Marco doesn't care. He just wants to escape the heat, and the place has air conditioning. Then they show Around the World in 80 Days, the movie he used to watch with his Uncle Victor.
Yes, and then he cannot hold back his tears anymore. He thinks he has turned himself into nothing, and his uncle would be very sad to see him like that. He leaves the movie theater, but he doesn't change his situation because he thinks that he deserves his fate.
It gets late, and Marco has to find a place to sleep. Suddenly, he realized that life in the streets is very difficult and also dangerous. He walks for quite a while and finally finds a spot to sleep in Central Park. He revisits this place many nights later on.
He does not only sleep there one night, but all of the following nights. He spends his days there, too.
Central Park becomes very important for Marco. Outside the park, he feels that people stare at him if he doesn't behave according to the rules of regular everyday life. In Central Park, he doesn't feel different because many people come there to relax. Everybody is free to do what he or she wants to do. So Marco can be the way he wants to be, and the park becomes a kind of sanctuary for him. Sometimes people even give him money or food, although he never asks for anything.
Right. But still, it is not enough, and he has to look for food in garbage cans. How disgusting. Imagine you had to eat what other people threw away.
Oh, true. Marco is in a really desperate state. Sometimes he is even in danger. Kids chase him around, and once he disturbs three people having sex at night.
Imagine.
Well, it's actually not so funny. One of the men points a gun at Marco and threatens to kill him.
You're right. Luckily, he can run away. One time, a weird old man tries to steal Uncle Victor's clarinet.
But Marco runs after him and takes it back. And then after all the summer heat, it starts to rain one night.
Marco gets so wet, and his knapsack, too. He finds a place to hide, but it is too late. Everything is soaked.
The next morning, he tries to warm up and dry his clothes in a hash house, and then in a public library. But he and his clothes begin to smell really badly.
I mean, he hasn't taken a shower for weeks, and his clothes are also dirty for sure.
Yeah, and then Marco gets ill. He gets a fever and starts throwing up all the time. He manages to hide in a natural cave in Central Park. But he loses more and more weight, and he gets weaker and weaker. I'm sure he would have died
if David Zimmer and Kitty Wu hadn't found him.
At that time, Marco has no idea that his best friend and Kitty have started looking for him all over New York City. They are worried what has happened to him, and finally they find him lying half dead in Central Park. They save him and take him home.
It's good to have friends like that, isn't it?
Summary, Chapter 3. Vocabulary. Rescue. Coward. Remorse. Draft board. Army physical. Luck is on somebody's side. Psychiatrist. To flunk. Recovery. To bump into somebody. Fortune cookie. To encounter.
David Zimmer takes care of Marco after his rescue. Marco lives with him in his small apartment. Zimmer feeds him.
Imagine! Marco was too weak to walk. He hasn't eaten properly for weeks, and then he is really sick with a fever.
The fever broke on the second or third day, but for a long time after that I had no strength, could barely even stand up without losing my balance.
Zimmer is a really good friend. He also tells Marco that he was very stupid not to ask for any help. So Marco finally understands that he was just a coward when he was too proud to tell anyone about his situation. He feels remorse for what he has done and wants to change his life.
Then he finds the letter from the draft board and he has to report for his army physical the next day.
Luckily, he doesn't miss it, but think of it. It's the time of the Vietnam War. Marco has to be afraid of being sent to fight in the war if they take him as a soldier.
Luck is on his side. On the day of the physical examination, he is still so weak that he only makes it to the office with Zimmer's help. Even the army doctors realize that he is so thin and weak.
They make him talk to a psychiatrist. Once this guy starts asking him questions, he cannot stop telling the stranger his whole story.
For some reason, I felt an overpowering urge to pour out my story to this stranger. Nothing could have been more inappropriate, but before I had a chance to stop myself, words were coming out of my mouth.
And, of course, the psychiatrist thinks he is completely crazy and flunks him. Marco's really lucky because he's too thin and very weak. Therefore, he does not pass the test and he does not have to go to the war.
After that, he gains more and more strength daily, and Zimmer talks to him about Kitty Wu.
Ah, Kitty Wu, the Chinese girl who helped find him and who came to visit Marco in the early days of his recovery. But what's so important about her?
You're just as slow as Marco. Kitty is in love with Marco. That's why she came to visit him so often. He didn't understand it, so she stopped coming. That's what Zimmer explains to him now. Marco still cannot believe it.
I guess she's pretty.
Yes, of course. And she has a similar fate as Marco. She's an orphan too.
And?
Nothing. Now she is gone and Marco has other things on his mind. He starts to help Zimmer with a French translation. Thus, he can earn some money and pay back his friend. While Marco was sick, Zimmer paid for food and rent.
But what happened to Kitty Wu?
Marco meets her again, of course. One afternoon, they accidentally bump into each other in a park. They start talking, and Marco invites her over to Zimmer's place for a cup of coffee.
For a cup of coffee?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Marco is also in love with her, and they end up in bed. This is the beginning of their relationship.
Yep, they're crazy in love with each other. Now things get better and better for Marco. Remember the night when Kitty, Zimmer, and Marco go out for dinner at the Moon Palace? They have such a good night together in the Chinese restaurant. This is a really symbolic place for Marco. Do you remember that he used to look at its pink and blue on neon sign from the window of his former apartment?
The sun is the past. The earth is the present. The moon is the future.
What?
Well, that's what Marco's fortune cookie says that night. Very mysterious, don't you think?
True. I can't make much sense of it, but Marco will encounter this phrase again later on. Maybe then things are clearer. Now we might understand it as a good omen because the three friends are sitting in the Moon Palace, and Marco has recovered after so many terrible things happened to him.
Right, and shortly after he even finds a job looking after an elderly man. He can live in the apartment of the man, and he can also earn some money. That sounds like an easy job.
Well, at that time, Marco has no idea about the man he is going to look after. Maybe otherwise he would have not taken the job.